IPv6, a very, very interesting topic, guys. Today as we speak, many of you might have received IPv6 addressing if you are traveling abroad or if you're using some public Wi-Fi internet connection, okay? The reason I told you, since we are exhausted from the IPv4 range, we have no other option than to adopt IPv6. By the way, let me also mention that there is an RBI regulation which is applicable in India for the financial institutions. Okay, so just to give an example, if you are working overseas and if you have been assigned an IPv6 address, and if you want to say renew your policy or you want to carry out any financial transactions with any of the bank based out in India, and if your request is coming from IPv6 addressing, the Indian financial institutions are mandated to fulfill that request. Okay, now they can fulfill that request only if they have moved on IPv6. Okay, so IPv6 addressing is something wherein the IP addresses will be assigned on the range in the length of 128 bit, very, very secured. In fact, one of the special purpose of IPv6 addressing is it is unlimited. It is virtually not going to be ending. So as we progress in the future, right, when we are talking about connecting devices, today everything is connected. Your data center is connected, your AC in house is connected, okay, maybe your cars are also connected, okay. Everything needs a connection, everything needs an IP address. The days are not very far that even your grinder, your gas stove will also have the IP address, right? So to meet that requirement, okay, or the future requirement, there's an IPv6 addressing which is being developed and also being used. So coming back to the example which I was giving, that if your request is originating from IPv6 addressing, banks are mandated to give you the response on IPv6. The request should not drop. If the request is dropping, you are not complying the law. Okay, so for this, what needs to be done? Obviously, I cannot change my infrastructure. I cannot have a heavy investment done overnight. Okay, so what I would do is I would have the solution in place, or I would have a device as an intermediary in place, which will take my request from IPv6. It will convert it into the form of IPv4, which my server can understand and respond back to IPv6. So that my request from the customer or from the user is addressed, right? As I said, the IPv6 is virtually unlimited. The addressing scheme is of 128 bit. The example is given here, it is very difficult to remember. That's what you can see it here. But if you understand the methodology, it's actually very interesting to understand and club. So there are also ways to club this. So you see the four zeros, you can actually convert them with the colon. Okay, so that's a different topic altogether on the IPv6. In case if you're interested more, you can research and you can learn more about it. But for the point of view of this subject, this is enough. One thing it's very important for you to understand as far as the IPv6 is concerned is it has the routing capability. Okay, so if I've been assigned an IPv6 addressing, my IP can route on the public network. Okay, this also comes with the inbuilt security feature, and this also comes with the quality of service. Okay, so when I say the quality of service, what happens is in the organizations you may be accessing multiple applications. Okay, you may be using ERP as an SAP, you may be using IP telephony for talking, you may be using the video conferencing, you may be using email, you may be using the internet, and so on and so forth. But you know for sure that if the person is talking to another person, that packets are real time, okay, and that needs to be given a priority. If I have the packets being dropped between the conversation, it may not be a good idea or a good customer experience. Right, so I'll be giving a topmost priority to my voice packets so that my communication is seamless and real time. So the quality of service is something which is being used as a concept to meet this demand. The second important is my SAP. Okay, I want my invoices to be fired right on time, and you know I should not have a delay in dispatches. Obviously my ERP system request should be given a priority, so my second priority could be that. Okay, obviously the internet can wait. Okay, if my user wants to read the news, what has happened, it can wait, but my critical function cannot wait. Okay, so QoS is also something which we can achieve as an inbuilt inherent feature of IPv6. Okay, moving on to something which is physically, which you can see physically, you might have experienced physically, you might have hold that. Okay, so we are talking about now various transmission medias. Okay, so like we use the water pipe to move the water from one container to a different container. We also have to use some media, some transmission lines for moving a packet from one source to another destination. Okay, so there are several such medias are available, so we'll be talking about each in detail in the further sections. Okay, so there are, on a broad level, there are four type of medias: unshielded twisted pair, shielded twisted pair, coaxial cable, and fiber optic. So as we progress, we'll be talking about each with the diagram so that it is easy for you to understand. Okay, transmission media, the twisted pair. Okay, many of you might have heard the terminology of Cat6 cable, okay, or Cat7 cable. If you have worked in the network field, or if you have helped somebody in setting up a data center or a server room, this is a very common terminology most of you might have heard, right? So in this category, you have Cat6 and Cat7 are actually the recent trends, but there are categories from Cat1. Okay, category ones. When I say Cat1, it's a category one. Okay, so the telephone line which you might have seen at your home, it has the one pair connection, right? And it will have a small connector called an RJ11. That is something as a Cat1. Okay, Cat2 is something which is the EIA or TIA standards, which is capable of transmitting with a speed of 4 million bits per second. Again, slow in speed, okay, not used very frequently these days. Cat4, Cat3, so before we move on to the Cat4, let's see the Cat3. So Cat3 is can also be interchangeably used as a name as a 10 base T network. Okay, 10 base T, again something important for you to remember, and the speed of the transmission also requires to be remembered, which is 10 Mbps. Cat4 used for a token ring, and can transfer with a speed of about 16 Mbps. All this speeds, if you have noticed, are increasing with the increase of the Cat6 categories. Why? Because of the technological advancement. Okay, so if you notice carefully, in the diagram, there are four pairs given in the picture. Okay, many of you might have crimped these cables themselves as a part of their initial stages of the career, or they would be doing it in a future. Is something, you have four pairs of the wired cable which are color coded. There are also color coding in terms of you want a straight cable or you want a crossover, and so on and so forth. Cat5, Cat6 is again it can support up to 100 meg or 100 meters. So if your distance is going beyond 100 meters, you probably would like to have the repeater in between, which can enhance the speed of your packets, or you may can use the another set of media. Cat7 or Cat6e are the recent one and currently being used. So today, if you are connecting the patch cord, okay, the wire of or RJ45 cable when you are into your office, that is something which you are using as a Cat7 or Cat6e. Okay, this can support the speed up to 120 meters, but however, it is still recommended that if it is crossing beyond 100 meters, you may have a repeater or a switch in between. Coaxial cable, again very common. Many of you might have seen your cable or your set-top box cable. That is actually the coaxial cable. Okay, the feature of this is it is protected by a very hard plastic layer, okay, and there are insulated layers in between, So like how you see, and there is a copper wire which is responsible for transmitting your packet. Okay, there are two type of the cables available here. One is 50 ohm and one is 75 ohm. Again, you need not go into the much detail, but it is just for your academic interest. These are the two different types. Okay, coaxial cable also can be referred as a thick net and thin net. Okay, which also you need to understand. The best part of the coaxial cable is it can run with your electrical lines. So you might have noticed that you are not facing any kind of interference or a degradation in the packet delivery, even if it is connected or transferred via the same duct of your electrical wires. Okay, because of the outer jacket plastic layer and the the metallic shield, it is removing all the attenuation or the interference. Okay, this is also used for predominantly for the baseband or a broadband, what we can say. So as I had explained, you have the cable network, or you have a broadband connection coming from the service provider or a cable operator like Hathway or MTNL or whatsoever. Those people can use or do use this cable. Okay, fiber optic, we all of us know, I don't think it needs more explanation. However, something one must know, that there is a glass core, which is a kind of glass coating which is inside a fiber optic. The reason of this being used, or the, you see the high speed transmission of the fiber optic, is just because of the simple reason that this transmission media uses light as a transmission. Okay, and the glass wall, which is the inner layer of the fiber optic, it kind of reflects the ray, which is helping for a faster transmission. A very, very effective, most commonly used these days. And this is also used for a longer transmission. So if you want, if you're crossing 100 meters, or if you really want to, have a communication between the floors or between the buildings, this is something which is very, very commonly used. And there are also two type of the fiber optic. Okay, one is called as a, the multi-mode, and one is called as a single mode. Single mode is something, which can transfer the data for a very, very long distance. Okay, so maybe if you want to connect two cities, you can use the single mode cable. But if you want to connect, say within the buildings, or within the campus, maybe you can use the multi mode as a fiber. Okay, one more thing to keep in mind, that fiber optic cable are also free from the interference. So this can very well run along with the heavy transmission lines, and it will not cause any issues, right? So that's why suppose if your setup is in between the railway lines, where you see that there's a locomotive or there's an engine which is being passed several times during a day, which may, and if you have a plant at the both the side, and if you want to get the packet transferred without any errors, this is something which is which can be used for such transmission. Okay, now moving on to the topologies. Topologies is nothing but the way of connecting. Okay, to simplify, it is just a way of connecting. So there are several type of topology which we'll be discussing in this section. Okay, so bus topology, simplest one. And let me explain with a non-IT example. Okay, imagine there is a highway. Okay, imagine there is a highway which is connecting the several villages. Okay, and there is a river passing by, and there is a bridge. Okay, and there are few villages which are before the bridge, and there are few villages after the bridge. Now in this bus topology, consider that highway, or consider that bridge which is broken. All the traffic after the bridge, or all the traffic towards the villages after the bridge, will be disconnected, which will not be kind of communicated. Similar way in the network also, if you are using this topology, okay, if the cable is cut, the the nodes which are coming after that cut will not be cutting the packets. Okay, a very very simple way of connecting the computers. Generally, it is used in a very very small setup, a very small office like a small CA's office and so on and so forth. Okay, the second one is ring topology. Pretty much same like a bus topology. The only difference is the highway now is now in a ring road. Okay, same fashion, all the villages are connected with the highway. If there is a problem in the highway, if the road is blocked, the nodes or the villages coming after that break will not be getting the packets. Okay, circular fashion, the nodes are in line. The difference between bus and the ring topology is that there may not be a side by side nodes connected in this topology. Okay, tree topology, pretty much like a flow chart which you might have seen, that you have a central node and there are the branches which are kind of coming out from that. It's very much like a tree, or I can also call it as a hierarchical, wherein if my node fails, my further transmission will go for a toss. Again, if my the branch node fails, okay, again my connection to the subsequent nodes will fail. Okay, again the similar one, but in the tree fashion. So the chances of failure of both the branches are rare. Okay, so somewhat I can achieve the redundancy here, but again a little limited. Star topology is like how you see that you have a central hub. So just consider an example of your hub, like your maybe the courier people which they use as a hub, right? So whatever packets or whatever the consignment, they come to the hub first and then they get kind of distributed to the other locations. Pretty much similar to that, where you have a centralized infrastructure, centralized server, centralized switch, with which your other nodes are connected. Think of a drawback of this topology. The drawback of this topology is if my central node fails, my communication to all nodes will fail, right? So I have a heavy or a very heavy dependency on my central node. If that fails, my communication is stopped. Mesh topology, a very common, very frequently used. So few of you who have worked in the MPLS technology, which is used for a WAN circuit, they specifically use the mesh topology. Okay, so mesh topology is nothing but you have the several connection going from node and connecting to each node. Again, the drawback is it's a very very complex, and this can turn out to be a very costly state of affairs. But the best part of is you have the very good redundancy. So even if one node, one path fails, you always can reach to the desired destination via other path, other node, right? Again, a little bit of expensive state of affairs, but it's very commonly used these days. Classification of the network type. So after learning the several protocols or the way of connecting, now let us talk about geographically wide. If there is a change in the connection, what could be the category? So, or what could be the type? LAN, a very common word or a terminology which everyone who are watching might have heard, right? So LAN is pretty much simple. I have a small office, I have a small building which is connected with each other within the same vicinity. That's my LAN, local area network. MAN, or a metropolitan area network, is nothing but within the same city. So if I have the smart cameras or the surveillance cameras which are placed at a various part of junctions of the city or the road, and they are connected to the same network, that could be termed as my MAN network. My smart cities generally work on this type of network. And wide area network is nothing but when I am moving out of the city, when I am connecting several cities, several country together. Okay, wide area network is generally pretty large, where the locations are geographically spread across multiple places. Okay, and basically, if your branches, like say for example, if you have branches, one in Nagpur, one in Kolkata, one in, you know, somewhere in Varanasi, those branches are connected with certain circuits. Those can be an example of your wide area network WAN connectivity. Based on the hierarchy of you know, the connectivity piece, again, friends, these are the important concepts. I would strongly urge to make notes of the examples which we are quoting as and when we are discussing. Okay, so based on the hierarchical you know, the methodology, if I have a connectivity, so say for example I have a peer-to-peer network, so just to give an example, if you are using the broadband of your building, of your society, okay, earlier the cable operators used to have, you know, the common network. So if I have some files of the movie you know, which I have downloaded on my laptop, maybe somebody who is using the same network can access it. Okay, peer-to-peer communication, wherein I have, so many of us also download the movies, I mean, with the BitTorrent, right? That's nothing but a peer-to-peer network, right? Where I have ability to connect the several people who are online at same point in time. Client server, a very traditional mode wherein all the requests will be originated by the client towards the server. Server is something which is sitting out centrally, respond back to the client based on the request which they have raised, right? So again, we have the two modes from the connectivity point of view. TCP IP three-way handshake, a very, very important topic for all of us to understand. Okay, so when I was explaining the OSI and the TCP IP model, I mentioned that, you know, they provide a guaranteed packet delivery. Guaranteed has to be done by executing something, right? I cannot guarantee in air. So what is guaranteeing the error-free packet delivery is the three-way handshake. So if you see the diagram carefully, okay, if there is a client, okay, if there's a client who wants to initiate a communication with the server, or they want to access some data from the server, what they will do, they will initiate a sync sent request to client. Okay, sync sent request is received by a server. Server will send, you know, the SYNAC, okay, SYNAC a packet to back to the client, so that just the server ensures that and kind of acknowledges that, hey, I have received you know, the request from you. But the point to note here is it is SYNAC, so obviously it has a sequence number. Okay, so whatever SYN sent has a sequence number, it will be, or the SYNAC will be in line with that, so that the client can understand that the response is based on the request I have sent. Okay, once the client receives the request or the SYNAC, it sends back the acknowledgement, the third packet. Okay, once the acknowledgement is sent back from the client to server, my connection gets established. This is a three-way process, and that's why it is called as a three-way handshake, right? Very, very important concept. In UDP, this three-way handshake does not exist, and that's why it is not connection oriented, it is connection less, and it does not guarantee the error free packet delivery. Okay, very important concept, guys. You will surely have a question from this topic. Okay, Wi-Fi network, some of the wireless importance we already discussed during the first chapter, but just to go a little bit more technically on the wireless, that you know, why we use wireless is for a seamlessness. I want to move within the building, I want to move within the floors, I want to move between the rooms, and so on and so forth, without, you know, having a problem or a trouble to connect my cable, right? So wireless, we all of us know now. Standard, we need to remember, is it works on 802.11ac, okay, and it works on a free bandwidth. Okay, so free bandwidth is something that there are there are bandwidth or spectrum which works or which are given on a free basis by government. Okay, so the 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz. So these are you know, kind of the free bands where the wireless access point predominantly works, and there are also chances of interference. So let me give you a little bit of example here. So you know, the wireless access point which we use at home is a very, very minuscule, okay, a very, very small setup. But there are service providers who you know, use this wireless technology for connecting the several BTS. So the towers or the cell phone towers which you see, they are connected via microwave or with such WiMAX or a wireless technology. Okay, what happens is that since this works on a free band, okay, if there are multiple players operating on a same band, there is you know, chances of attenuation or a interference, and this may result into a drop of packets, right? So there is a consideration which needs to be taken you know, while we are using the wireless on a free band, right? Software defined network, the technology of a future, okay, a very, very interesting you know, the technology which is now taking a momentum in India. So when I was preparing a white paper a year back, and for my organization, as per the Gartner report and as per the several reports, okay, the penetration of software defined network was only 2% in India, only 2%, okay, because of several reasons. Because this technology was not matured enough, then this technology had very limited players, and there was no technological know-how. People didn't know that, you know, how it will behave. People were not confident enough on this technology. But now the time has proven that this technology is actually of the future. So basically, why there is a hype of this technology, right? So the fundamental piece or the fundamental understanding for this technology is they have divided the, you know, the data layer and the control layer, okay? Today, if we are using you know, the traditional router, the traditional point-to-point circuit, or the traditional MPLS circuit, what happens is my data and control plane is sitting at my router. Okay, with this technology, since they have kind of differentiated both, what is happening is my control will be taken care centrally, and only my and my endpoint will be only responsible for switching of the data. That's it. Okay. The beautiful advantage of this software-defined technology, okay, when I say software-defined network, there is a software-defined LAN and there is also a software-defined WAN. The state-of-the-art data center switching environment, okay, are also software-defined network now. With this, what happens is that, you know, with a centralized console, I have a view of, you know, what is happening in my network on the graphical interface. Earlier, what was the case is I used to, you know, log in onto my command prompt. I used to run several commands and I used to interpret whatever the output is. But now the technology is advanced so much that, you know, I am getting the very meaningful output on my console, which even the layman can understand. Talking about WAN, okay, with this technology, it is now possible that I ship the device, the person at the branch just connects the device with any of the available, you know, the internet connectivity, and my central console reports that, hey, there is a device which is introduced in the network. I'll just, with the click of a button, I'll push my configuration and my branch is up and running in 5 minutes. Okay, this is happening, right? So with this software defined network, it is very, very you know, kind of convenient. It has become possible to turn up the site very quickly, because providing an MPLS circuit or providing a point-to-point circuit at my remotest location is a challenge these days also in India. Okay, but if I talk about providing an internet connection, that may be very easy. Okay, I can easily get the 2 Mbps of the lease line or a fiber in any of the remotest part of the, you know, India. Right, so the moment I have I have that internet connectivity, I plug into my device and I'm all good to work or carry out my business transactions. Okay, so it is also referred as a zero touch provisioning. Okay, you might hear that the zero touch provisioning word. Okay, The advantage of this technology, okay, is also that I can club multiple circuits. Today, there is a limitation depending on the architecture you have in your environment that I cannot use both the circuit at the same time if it is MPLS, right? I may have to use active standby and so on and so forth. But with this technology, since it is forming the tunnel above it, so what it does actually is, if you have the broadband from Airtel, if you have a broadband from say Hathway or Vodafone or whatsoever other provider of both say 50-50 MB each, right? The beauty of this technology is that it clubs both the bandwidth together and it gives you a performance of 100 meg, right? This is possible. The another feature of this software-defined network is it provides a quality of service, right? It is also capable to take a decision on its own. So when I say the decision on its own, that suppose if I have configured, in my central orchestration layer, that if there is a high latency in my network, beyond a point, say beyond 5 minutes or beyond 10 minutes, switch back to my secondary circuit. Okay, it is automatic. Nothing needs to be done. So we may see a future days wherein the network engineers with the specified skill may not be required because things are now moved on to the graphical interface, which is easy to comprehend, easy to understand. Thank you so much for watching me. Appreciate your time. Take care.